to you with Sandy Aloisi and John Stanley. You know, I was pretty comfortable about the thought of interviewing our next guest because I thought, yeah, radio broadcaster, just like us, John, would fit in hand in glove. And then I realised that actually he's done a whole lot more than just be a radio broadcaster. He's a comedian, he's an actor, he's a director and a best-selling author. He is.
That's right. He also, he produced one of the most celebrated comedy duos on radio. Not that we're a comedy duo, but he might be able to give us some tips. Martin Malloy, of course, dominated radio in the afternoons on FM back in the 90s, right around Australia. But Tony Martin's done so many other things. He's here in the studio. Let's get him on. Hello, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. My motto is, why do one thing properly when you can do a number of things with middling success? That's always been my motto.
Maybe we feel a bit better now, John.
But you've dug into your, you've dug back into your life, and you've told some stories in this book, your second book,
yes,
which I'm reading some of these, and it's quite painful because you're describing yourself as a young man, for instance, and your first experience, what would we could call racy magazines?
Well, that's it. I just figured that if I'm feeling embarrassed writing it, I'm figuring I'm onto something, that I'm tapping into something true. And, yeah, there's a chapter in there called Pornography Before the Internet, set in the 1970s, because my last radio show, I worked with Ed Cavalier. He's like 30 years old. If he wants to find some pornography, not that he would, but if he did, he would just get onto a computer, sort it. Whereas in my day, well, as the story begins with me discovering that my parents were actually cutting out bare-breasted women from the National Geographic. And as we were going, firstly, me and my brother are going, who's cutting them out? Because we found the un-vandalised ones in the school library. We're going, who's cutting them out? And what are they doing with them all?
Oh, what a thought. I should say the book is called A Nest of Occasionals, and it's, suppose, all these little anecdotes from your life, but you go back as far as your childhood in New Zealand. How did you remember all these little details that you talk about?
I do remember funny details. The hardest part is remembering conversations that you had when you were a kid. But I do remember key parts of conversations. And the hardest part is just the boring bits, who was standing at what door and what happened. But I can remember whole conversations word for word with a friend of mine who I went to school with. His mum was obsessed with the special class. And that was a new phrase, the special class and intellectually handicapped children. And that was a new phrase. And she didn't like those phrases being used around the house. Oh, it's distasteful. And her husband would go, well, what do you reckon they should be called? And she'd go, unfortunates. I think they should be referred to as unfortunates. So you remember, I'd run away and write down that, unfortunates. And just stuff like that.
So you were taking notes then?
Yeah, well, it sounds weird, but pretty much everyone in comedy does this. This is the job, is writing stuff down when people say it. Because people say funny things all the time.
Tell us about Martin and Malloy.
Martin Malloy.
Where did it come from?
Well, it's Mick and myself started in a group called The D-Generation, which was a university comedy group. And we were sort of the only ones. They were all fairly intellectual. Me and Mick were the bottom of the class of the group. So we sort of gravitated towards each other. I never went to university at all, but I wear glasses, so people think I did.
You look intellectual.
And Mick went to university just for the drinking, which I think was actually a course in the 1980s. And so we gravitated together and became a sort of a duo. And then we did The Late Show and we wrote everything together. But when we did Martin Malloy, it was interesting because it was a new process where we didn't want to do that thing where people pretend to laugh at each other's jokes on air. So we wanted to genuinely be hearing what the other one was saying. You know that bad sound you hear on radio breakfast shows sometimes? It's, ho, ho!
Not on this one.
Not on this one, but on certain FM programs, you can tell, you're going, hang on, they've rehearsed that. And so we really wanted to surprise each other. So we would work in a tiny shed on the roof of the radio station. And we would hide, we would get in at 10 in the morning and we would write all day and hide our stuff from each other.
Oh, you wouldn't share it with each other?
We wouldn't say what we were going to say. We would say, are you doing that topic? I've got something on that topic. And then we would hear it for the first time on air. But the downside of that was that it actually pushed us apart as people and as writers. So we had been a genuine comedy duo on The Late Show, but with Martin Malloy, because of the process of it, we sort of moved apart. And as you may have read in the papers, that process has continued.
Has continued,
to the point,
yeah,
where we're sort of in a showbiz feud at the moment.
Well, that's
tell us about the feud.
Well, I'm hoping the feud will be played out in a tawdry telly movie where we're played by James Valentine and Richard Clapton. So, you know, I'm hoping to see it one day.
And who would you be?
Well,
James Valentine.
I'm often mistaken for him.
Yes,
and Warwick Fairfax and Andrew Denton and the man from the Computers for Dummies logo. I'm mistaken for him occasionally.
You're a very funny writer, because I was laughing out loud reading this.
Oh,
and some of the bits, you know, and then that's one of the great things a comedian wants to do. You want to make people laugh. And I'm reading about some of this painful stuff, particularly when you were an actor and you're playing opposite this woman who you fancy. And so the whole idea of being a young man and you're not quite sure how to make the move, and it really have captured it beautifully, but also very painfully.
It is painful for me to this book, I didn't write it in chronological order, so I just wrote the stories as they occurred to me, and when I read it back in one go, it was like, I don't even know if I can put this out. This man is a disaster. But yeah, I got into amateur theatre, as a lot of people probably did,
to meet
women, and that was a spectacular failure. But I was on stage with a woman I was trying to impress, and suddenly I just felt this sort of fluttering on the side of my neck, and a giant spider was crawling out of my tuxedo and climbing up my face.
God.
And I just sort of, I realised that in 6 seconds I had to turn round so the spider side would be facing the audience, and I just whacked the side of my neck. And there was no way we were going to be dating from that moment on.
Okay, the book is called A Nest of Occasionals by Tony Martin. And I tell you, what you heard just then is about what you get in the book.
Afraid so.
Yeah,
You're going to be getting a lot of correspondence from people who will recognise themselves.
Well, amateur theatre, the last book I did, I'm still getting correspondence from amateur theatre people who said, I was in a play where both of the guns didn't go off as well.
Well, good luck. I thought it was terrific. Thanks. I love the little anecdotes about your childhood. It brings back all those memories of running away from bullies.
Yeah, well, the bully who bullies me in this book, I looked him up on the internet. He's now a successful orchardist in New Zealand. He's now bullying fruit.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.